Amen. Thank you, men. I appreciate that. It's great to see men up there singing, and what a great song that we heard today. Let's take the Word of God this morning, and let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Well, I'm so thankful that you're here, and I have been anticipating this message and asking God to use it in our lives in a special way. And I brought some illustrations with me, and no, these are not real bricks, all right? And I'm not going to throw them at you today, but I want to preach this morning on what I believe is something so very important in all of our lives. Today I want to preach on this subject, pulling down strongholds. You say, well, Pastor, what is a stronghold? We're going to look at it in just a moment in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. But I think that many of us, the very moment we think of the word stronghold, we would envision in our minds a castle, a fortress, something where it is a impenetrable type of structure. In fact, could you imagine here in the United States of America, and by the way, I'm thankful to be an American, and I still believe we live in the greatest nation on the face of the earth. I believe that. I thank God for our country. But we have enemies, do we not? We have military. I thank God for our military. They fight for our freedom. And today, one of the reasons we can come to church and worship God is because of our military, our law enforcement. We thank God for them. But could you imagine if, let's say, that Iran wanted to come to the United States and build a stronghold here, a place where they could fight us, a place where they could go out of the stronghold and attack us as Americans and then go back into their stronghold? You know what we would say? No way. We will not allow that to happen. We will pull down that stronghold. Why? Because we're protecting our freedom. But I do believe that there probably are some strongholds even on American soil. We would call those sleeper cells. People that have come to America to seek to defeat Americans, to attack Americans. It is no doubt a portion of our country that is watching out for these sleeper cells. When they find them, they go in and to defeat them. But the problem is some of them we don't know about. Now, on a grander scale, God wants us to deal with the strongholds in our own hearts. You say, well, Pastor, I'm a Christian here today. Wonderful. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Wonderful. But you say, Pastor, do you think that it's possible for me as a Christian to have strongholds? Yes. In fact, I believe that in this auditorium, including your pastor, we all deal with strongholds in our lives. Now, the Bible is very clear on dealing with these strongholds. For instance, years ago, I remember watching a little video about Tom Brady. Now, whatever you think about him as a person, no doubt he's an extremely talented football player. No doubt about it. And this was right after Tom Brady had won 3 Super Bowls. In fact, many quarterbacks can never say that. And here he was as a young man. They set him down and they interviewed him. It was a live interview. And the man said to him, interviewing Tom Brady, I mean, this famous man, wealthy, fame, fortune, I mean, just amazing. And they were interviewing him and they said, Tom, I mean, goodness, 3 Super Bowls. And, you know, he had 3 Super Bowl rings and all the fame, the fortune. His future was so bright. And the man looked at Tom Brady and said this. He said, Tom, this is just amazing. He said, how does it feel to be at this point in your life? And Tom Brady was very honest. And I watched the video, and with almost a somber face, he looked at the man interviewing him, and he said this. He said, you know, it is great. It's exciting. Dreams come true. But he said this, it seems like there has to be something more. And the man was kind of startled by Tom Brady's response, and he said to him, well, Tom, what is it? And Mr. Brady said, I wish I knew. You see, may I say to you today, as someone has said, there is a God-shaped hole in every one of our hearts. Life does not make sense without God. It is never meant to make sense. May I say to you today that you are here today. God created you. God gave you life. But let me say this to you. Life has no meaning. Life has no purpose until first you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And then you yield your life to God. That is where life makes sense. But let me say this to you. There are so many people that live in our great nation today. And I believe that all of us here, we have areas in our heart where the devil has built brick by brick strongholds in our heart. And by the way, the devil cannot build any stronghold unless first we hand him the brick to build a stronghold in our life. And because of the stronghold in your life and in my life, we are defeated in many areas in our life. And we will not be all that God has created us to be. Well, the Apostle Paul dealt with strongholds. And by the way, today, I don't want to just detect the strongholds. I don't want to just show you how they're developed, which I will. I want to deal with the last thing, and that is, how are strongholds pulled down? How are they destroyed? Brother, may I tell you something? We serve a God today who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think. Jesus Christ is the great physician today. And may I say to you, we all need a doctor. We do. And only the Lord has the answer. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, pulling down strongholds. Let's look, if you would please, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now, brethren, this morning, what is a stronghold in our heart? Now, think of it. The word that we have here in the Bible is like a fortress. It is something that has been built on enemy soil in order to go out and to conquer and to hurt and to defeat and to go back in into the fortress. And the devil is so often much different than what we think. When I was a kid growing up, I used to think the devil was in a red suit and with a pitchfork and pointy ears and all of that. And boy, I was afraid of the devil. But the devil doesn't look like that. The devil is so crafty. He is so deceitful. We go all the way back to the book of Genesis, if you think in your mind, and Adam and Eve. If Satan could, in a sense, deceive Adam and Eve, brethren, he can deceive you and me. Have you ever been deceived by the devil? I have. Has the devil ever built strongholds in your heart and mind and made you believe something that was not true? He developed a stronghold. Now you say, "Well, Pastor, how are strongholds developed?" Well, let me say this to you. You see, all of us here through life, we deal with pain. Now, I'm not talking about physical pain. I know that's a part of life. But can I say this to you? When we deal with physical pain, if you are hurting, if your headache hurt, if your head hurts, or maybe you have an injury, whatever it may be, you know what we do with pain? We medicate the pain. There's nothing wrong with that as long as it is done properly and as long as done in the right kind of way. We medicate it. For instance, if I get a headache, I may ask my wife, "Hey, give me some Tylenol, Advil, something to kind of cope with this pain." But there's a different kind of pain that we deal with, and the devil knows about this pain in our life. It is often emotional pain. It is often spiritual pain. It is dealing with things throughout our life. It is friends hurting us. It is people wronging us. It is different things in life, dreams that are never accomplished. It is many things. And so often people want to medicate the pain, and they turn to coping mechanisms in life for which the devil develops strongholds. You see, what is a stronghold? Can I say this to you? A stronghold is anything that you turn to instead of Jesus Christ to deal with the pain, the heartache, and the sorrow in life. Brethren, Jesus Christ is the answer for all of our needs. But if we turn to other things instead of Jesus Christ, the devil has developed a stronghold in our life for which we can never be effective for what God wants us to be. Now, I want to give you some simple thoughts here today. I pray that God would use in our life. Number one, I want you to notice how do we detect strongholds. Now, take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter number 4, because I must show you what the Bible says. Now, the Bible talks about that our warfare, and by the way, we're in a battle. It is a spiritual warfare that we deal with. If you're here today and you are without Jesus Christ, you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me tell you something. You're still in a warfare, because the devil is working hard to blind your mind to the truth of the gospel. That is, Jesus died on the cross, He was buried, and He rose again the third day. The devil wants to blind you to that truth. The devil wants you to convince you that there is no heaven and there is no hell. He wants to convince you that if you do enough good deeds, you'll get to go to heaven one day. He lies to you. Why? Because your soul is at warfare. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, the devil is waging a warfare against you. But if you're a child of God, the devil doesn't stop his warfare. No, he cannot take our soul to hell. No, he cannot rob us of our salvation. But let me say this to you. The devil wants to ruin your effectiveness for Jesus Christ. And the greatest way the devil does it is he builds strongholds in your heart and in your mind. And because you don't think right, therefore you will not trust God, and you will not surrender your life to Him, and therefore not be used of God as He wants to use you. So the Bible talks about pulling down the strongholds. We come to Ephesians chapter number 4, and I want to read a few verses to you here. Let me show this to you. Ephesians chapter 4, let's begin, if you would please, in verse number 22. Ephesians 4 and verse 22. The Bible says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Folks, before I read on, can I tell you something? The battle is your mind today. That's what the devil wants. Look here, I'm a Christian. I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior when I was 17 years of age in Knoxville, Tennessee. I put my faith and trust in Christ. I thank God that He saved me and changed my life. But can I tell you something? When I got saved, guess what I still had? Lots of strongholds. Areas where the devil had convinced me of things that were not true, he had developed strongholds in my life. And because of those, during my time of sorrow and heartache and wanting to find meaning in life, I turned to other things instead of Jesus Christ. And guess what? They were strongholds. Areas where I was dependent on other things and other people rather than Jesus Christ. And you know what I had to have? I needed my mind to be transformed. I needed my mind to be cleansed and to be washed. And by the way, it is the Word of God that can only cleanse your mind. God's Word is the key. We read on here. Let's go, if you would please, in verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now look what it says. It goes on here. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And then look in verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Before we read on, can I help you understand something? That word there, to give place, literally means topography. To give place. Can I tell you what it means? It means to give the devil real estate in your heart. All right, think just for with me, just for a moment. Let me give you an illustration to try to help you. Let's say that I owned 100 acres, all right? I don't know why I would, because I couldn't farm it, and I definitely wouldn't want to mow it, you know? But let's just say, just for a moment, that I owned 100 acres, all right? Think about that. But let's say that you came to me and you said, hey, preacher, you don't need all that land, and I'd like to buy 1 acre. I'd say, okay, no problem. But the acre that you wanted to buy was right smack dab in the middle of the 100 acres. And I said, okay, I'll go ahead and sell you some real estate. I'm going to give you some topography. I'm going to give you place. Well, can I tell you what? If I did that, which would not be smart to do, can I tell you something? You would have access to any part of that 100 acres because you owned right in the middle. You could go across any part by legally and by law. You could tramps over every part of that 100 acres because you were coming to that one place. Can I tell you, that is a great picture of giving place to the devil. We read on here. Notice what the Bible says. It says in verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. May I stop and say this to you, folks? The Bible is clear that those are evidences where we have given place to the devil. For instance, the Bible says, let all bitterness. Do you know so often when you are hurt by someone, maybe you're hurt by a spouse, you're hurt by a parent, you're hurt by a grandparent, you're hurt by a close friend, and if you are not careful, if you do not deal with that hurt and that pain, if you do not go to Jesus Christ and let Jesus heal your wounds of your heart, if you don't, the devil will develop a stronghold of bitterness in your heart, and you will medicate that pain instead of turning to Jesus. The devil will give, he will take place in your heart. It's called a stronghold. Today, I'm asking God to do something. I'm asking God to reveal the strongholds in my life, but also the strongholds in your life. Look, today you could have a stronghold, as I said, of bitterness. You could have a stronghold of worry, of fear. For instance, some of you, maybe people have, you've trusted people and they have let you down. And if you're not careful, you don't go to Jesus and see that He is the one who is faithful. He is the one that will never fail you. He is the only one that is without sin. He is the faithful one, and He changes not. If you don't go to Jesus and let Him heal the wound in your heart, and you don't trust in Him, the devil could develop a stronghold of trust to where you won't trust anybody. And in your mind, you think, well, everybody's going to hurt me. Everybody's going to fail me. Everybody's going to wound me at some point. And you'll put up walls in your life. And therefore, the devil has developed a stronghold, and you cannot be effective for Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, I could go on and on about strongholds in our hearts and life. How are they detected? But number two, how are they developed? Now, take your Bibles, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, because we must see this here. By the way, remember what I said. In order for the devil to develop strongholds in your life, can I tell you what we must do? We have to give him the bricks. And here's what the devil does in your life. The devil speaks to you. He can. The devil puts a thought in your mind. He can. And the Bible says that the devil, or Satan, is the father of lies. He's the father of lies. Listen, has the devil ever lied to you before? Boy, he has me. You know, the devil will lie to you about God. He'll lie to you about your pastor. He'll lie to you about church. He'll lie to you about what is important in life. He'll lie to you. He'll lie to you about the consequences of sin. The devil lies to us. He is the father of lies. And let me say this to you. How are strongholds developed? Well, God's word is very clear. Let's look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And notice what it says in verse number 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Now, the Bible gives us two ways that strongholds are developed in our life. The first way is casting down imaginations, and the second way is high things. Now, you say, Pastor, what is imaginations? Now, I remember as a kid, I had a very active imagination. How many would say when you were a child you had an active imagination? Yes. Well, I'll tell you something. At night, I heard things. I mean, I knew someone was coming in, you know. And they were coming to get me. I had no reason why, but they were coming to get me, you know. Well, I remember my dad one time, someone gave him an old like a billy club is what we called it. And I slept with that sometimes. And I was going to beat someone half to death. It was probably my sister scaring me, you know. It's probably what it was. And man, I'd sleep with that. I'd sleep with knives, you know. And I was just scared to death. But can I tell you something? My mind would just run and, well, I'd think about this and active imagination. And it was probably because during that time in my life, I slept walk a lot. And I would wake up outside a lot, you know. That's a scary thing to do. How many's ever slept walk and woke up somewhere else? All right, you've done that. I'm going to tell you something. I prayed God deliver me from that because it was scary, you know. One time I woke up outside, my dog standing right there with me. I said, whoa, this is bad, you know. And I used to tell my dad at night, I said, Dad, lock the doors, do something, keep me in the house, you know. Because, Dad, I'll tell you, when I go to sleep, you know, I just, you know, I lose it or something. But you know something? I had an active imagination. And oftentimes I thought things that were just not there. Look here. The devil has a great way of bringing thoughts into our minds that are not true. The word imaginations here has to do simply with this. And I want you to remember this. Imaginations is a faulty reasoning. It is wrong thinking. Have you ever thought wrong about something before? Have you ever thought wrong about someone? You thought wrong about a family member? You thought wrong about your marriage? I can say this, my wife and I, this past week, we celebrated 21 years of being married, and I thank God for my wife, and I pray that God would bless us and give us many more years together. But you know something? The day that I got married on July 17, 1998 in Stone Mountain, Georgia, I thought I had it all figured out about marriage, you know? We chuckle about that. I loved her as much as I possibly could love her. But can I be honest with you? I don't think I really knew what love really was that day. You know something? You see, I thought wrong many things about marriage and many thoughts that were just wrong in my mind. And through the reading of God's word and God instructing me, our thinking is right. You see, the first way that the devil develops strongholds is through faulty reasoning. It's just thinking wrong. It's thinking wrong about marriage and thinking wrong about relationships and thinking wrong about finances and thinking wrong about life. You see, only the Word of God can help us to think right. Folks, by the way, the devil is a master at this. In fact, you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." Do you know that the devil is working to blind people's minds? He doesn't want them to know the truth. He doesn't want them to understand that Jesus loves them and died for them and that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. The devil doesn't want that. He is working to blind their minds. But the Bible also says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted. You know something? The devil is good at corrupting our minds, making us believe things that are not true. Listen, I'll tell you this. If you are not following Jesus Christ today with your life, and you're a child of God, it is evident that there are strongholds in your life because you are not willing to follow Jesus Christ. You have a stronghold of thinking that God's not going to be as good to you as you think He would be. I remember thinking when I first got saved and came to know the Lord, and God began to stir my heart about giving my life to Him, to serve Him the rest of my life. I began to think, boy, if I give my life to God, I'll be miserable. I won't have any fun. I won't have any joy in my life. And God may mess my life up. Can I tell you what that was? That was a stronghold. A faulty reasoning. It was an imagination. I imagined something about God that was not true. There are people everywhere that believe imaginations about their life and about God that are so wrong. By the way, this morning, if you have an imagination in your heart that says to you, God really doesn't love me. God doesn't care about me. I mean, look how I look, and look at all that's happened in my life, and look, nothing has worked out well for me. You know what the devil has done? He's built a stronghold in your heart. And the devil has convinced you that God does not love you and that He does not care for you. I've told you about my dad. My dad developed polio just as a child. And right before the polio vaccine came out, my dad walked with a limp. He was made fun of by his classmates, and by his own dad made fun of him, ridiculed him, mocked him. You know something? My dad said that for years he had an imagination in his heart that God must not love him, because my dad viewed the love of God through his own father, and his own father didn't love him. So he thought of God wrong, and he had an imagination built up in his heart that only God could tear down in his life. Folks, let me say something to you today. There is a God in heaven who loves you today with an everlasting love. Do you know that you can do nothing to make God stop loving you? God does not love me more today because I'm a preacher than He loves anyone else in the whole wide world today. His love for you and me never changes. So that is faulty reasoning. It's an imagination. Maybe today you have the thought that God could never forgive me. I've done so many terrible things. Maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you think in your mind, well, I've done so many bad things. God could never forgive me of that. God could never cleanse me from that. God could never use my life. He could never transform my life. Can I tell you what that is? It is faulty reasoning. It's an imagination. Because there is a God in heaven who can save anyone here today. There is a God in heaven who can clean up any life today. There is a God in heaven who is ready and willing. I'm going to tell you this. If you're here without Jesus Christ and you turn to Jesus Christ, He said that the him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You see, folks, it is only through the pages of Scripture that we get the right kind of thinking. Imaginations. Maybe you have the thought this morning that, oh, listen, I'm nothing. I can do nothing. I'm nothing much, and I don't have any talents. I don't have any gifts. I don't have any abilities. My life is a mess, and I'm a mess. Can I tell you something about that? What you are, if you're in Jesus Christ today, God says that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. In fact, can I tell you something? As a child of God, nothing can separate you from the love that is in Jesus Christ. Listen, so many thoughts, and right now, this morning, what are the imaginations, things that you imagine about God? I remember when I first got saved, I believed that God loved me because the Bible said so, but I didn't think He liked me very much. I knew all the sin. I knew all the things in my life, and I thought, well, God, You may love me, but You don't really like me very much. You don't really care about me too much. That was an imagination about God that was not true. It was not correct. And can I tell you, it only took the Word of God to cleanse my thinking and to pull down the strongholds in my life. Number two, there's another avenue through which the devil develops strongholds. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, casting down imaginations, verse 5, and every high thing. And notice what it says, that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Now, what does that mean? This is not faulty reasoning. This is a false reliance. Do you know that high things? You say, Pastor, what is a high thing? Would you imagine with me just for a moment that you're in a room and there are people in that room? Now, this is not the best illustration, but I want to help you. But let's say that Jesus Christ is there, who is the great physician. He is the one, He is the Alpha and Omega, He is the Almighty God. He is there. But let's say that there are other people in that room. Let's say that there are treasures in that room. Look, in your hour of need and what you go to find meaning and fulfillment in life, who would you choose in that room? And allow that to stop. You may think, well, of course, I'd go to Jesus Christ. But ask yourself the question, who do you go to now? You see, anything that we are dependent upon and we are trusting in instead of Jesus Christ is a high thing in our life. Look here, it's good to work. There's nothing wrong with work. But for some people, work has become a high thing. It's where they find meaning in life. It's where they find fulfillment. It's nothing wrong for entertainment as long as it's pleasing to Christ. But for some people, entertainment has become a high thing. It's where they find satisfaction. It is where they cope with the pain and the heartache in their life. And can I tell you what it does? The Bible says, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Listen, we are here to know Him, to love Him, to fear Him, to serve Him. But anything that causes us not to want to know God becomes a high thing. Let me say this to you. Marriage is God's ideal. By the way, marriage is one man marrying one woman for the rest of their lives. That is God's plan. Anything else is an abomination in the eyes of the Lord. But let me say this to you. Listen to me closely. Do you know that God never intended for my wife to bring me ultimate fulfillment in life? And God never intended for me to bring her the ultimate fulfillment. Now, let me tell you something. I'm thankful to be married to my wife, my sweetheart, my girlfriend, all of that. I'm thankful. And the joy and the blessing that a marriage brings. But may I say to you, God never intended for someone or something to bring you fulfillment and satisfaction. Only Jesus can do that. He's the only one. And if you look to your spouse to bring you that, it has become a high thing. If you look to your children to bring you that fulfillment and satisfaction, it is exalting itself against the knowledge of God. It has become a high thing. Folks, today, may God help us to see that many times that strongholds have been developed in our heart and mind, and we are trusting in them. We are depending upon them. And listen, there is only one this morning. He is the great physician. He is the Savior. In fact, He is the great I Am. You say, I am what? Just fill in the blank. He said, I am the door, I am the shepherd, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is the only way. Folks, today, has strongholds been developed in your heart and life? Number three, the last thing, and this is where I want to get to. Not only how do we detect them or how they develop, but number three, how are strongholds destroyed? I want you to take your Bibles and go to John chapter number 4. Now you say, well, Pastor, what does John 4 have to do with strongholds? Well, in John chapter 4, we come to a woman by the name, we don't know her name. Her name is the woman at the well. But it is a great picture of a woman who had many strongholds in her life. And when she found Jesus Christ, can I tell you what He did? He filled the thirst that she had all of her life. Now, let's talk about this woman at the well. By the way, Jesus went there on purpose. And today you are here on purpose by God. You say, I'm here just because a friend invited me. God brought you here. You say, I'm here just because I needed a place to go. And you're here on purpose. Jesus went to that well because He knew there was a woman there. He knew that woman was lost in her sin. He knew that woman was going to die and spend eternity at a place called hell without Jesus Christ. And He went there on purpose. That woman had all kinds of imaginations and high things in her life. The devil had lied to her about life. In fact, the Bible says that she had to go there during the heat of the day. You know why? She was a mockery. She was ashamed. No doubt the other women at the well, they would talk about her. They would make snide remarks about her. And she didn't want to go there to hear that. She came at a different time of the day. Jesus knew when she was there. Let's read a portion of this. John chapter number 4. And would you notice what the Bible says here? Let's go to verse number 4. John 4, 4. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, now notice his question, or his request, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. May I stop and say this to you? Everything in life, you will thirst again. Money, listen, money is not wrong in and of itself. The love of money is the root of all evil. But can I tell you something? Money makes itself as wings and flies away. If you have children, you really know that, right? But may I say to you, you will thirst again. It'll never bring satisfaction. I'm thankful for the marriages that we have in this church. But may I say to you, that marriage will not bring you total fulfillment. Listen, if it's the new boyfriend, the new girlfriend you think is the answer, the new vehicle, the new house, the new whatever it may be, you will thirst again. Let's read on. Verse 14, Jesus said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now, the woman didn't understand. She said, okay, I'll take that water. I don't want to have to thirst. I don't want to have to come back to the well. But notice what Jesus did. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband and come hither. Let me stop and say this to you. You know what Jesus said? Before you can deal with this, what's in your life? We read on verse 17, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Now let me stop and say this. I believe that this woman had strongholds in her life. Imaginations. She had five husbands before this. And now the one she's living. You know what? She's looking for meaning. Looking for fulfillment in life. No doubt she's been hurt. No doubt she's been wounded. And she thinks to herself, I'm just going to continue till I find fulfillment, find meaning in life. The devil has lied to this woman. The devil has put strongholds in her heart. And maybe you're like this woman at the well today. You're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen, don't believe the lie of the devil. There is a God in heaven who loves you. And that God loved you enough to give His only begotten Son who died on the cross to pay for all your sin, past, present, and future. And if you will come to Jesus today by faith, I promise you, based on the authority of God's Word, that He will save you and He will adopt you into His family. That is the truth. But if you're a child of God here this morning, you might be like this woman at the well. You've imagined things about God that are not true. You've imagined things about other people that are not true. You've imagined things about life and fulfillment. If you can get to a certain place in life, then you can find fulfillment. Then you can find peace. Then you can find rest. The devil has built a stronghold, and he will send you on a wild chase the rest of your life, and you'll never find what you're looking for when it is found at the feet of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and you have high things and you turn. Listen, we live in a world today where people are dealing with coping mechanisms in life. They turn to drugs. They turn to alcohol. They turn to suicide. They turn to pornography. They turn to everything imaginable to deal with the pain in their heart, to deal with this. It's become a high thing. It destroys their knowing God, the knowledge of God. It exalts themselves against the knowledge of God. But our God in heaven is able to pull down any stronghold today and give us victory and give us freedom that is found in Jesus Christ. Would you take your Bibles, and I want you to go to a great passage of Scripture. You're in John. Would you go back to Luke? Luke chapter number 4. And I want to show you something in closing here today. Luke chapter number 4. Jesus said in John chapter 10, He said, I am come that they might have life, that's eternal life, and that they might have it more abundantly. That is abundant life. Folks, today, if you're here, can I tell you something? Jesus came to give you life, to give you a home in heaven, to give for you what you cannot do for yourself. Listen, that's why we needed a Savior. We needed someone to rescue us from our sin debt. And Jesus Christ is the only Savior. It is only through Jesus Christ. But He wants to give us abundant life. And look, that doesn't mean a life with no trouble or no sorrow. A man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. We understand that. Even as a pastor, I deal with heartache. I deal with sorrow. But may I say to you, Jesus wants us to have abundant life. Like the woman at the well, Jesus said it would be a well in her springing up. That's that abundant life. That is meaning to life, where you would not thirst again. Jesus is the only answer. He is the only one that can pull down the stronghold. Look what it says in Luke chapter number 4. And let's go to verse number 17. Luke 4. Well, let's start in verse 16. Luke 4, verse 16. Jesus here, all right, this is speaking of Him. And it says, and He came to Nazareth where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written. Now, Jesus is reading this, but it's speaking of Him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That's the very first reason why Jesus came, to preach the gospel to the poor. Now look, it's not talking about poor financially. It's talking about poor in spirit. Those that realize they have nothing. And only Jesus Christ can give them what they need. To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captives. And recovering of sight to the blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I want you to listen to me closely. You say, Pastor, how are strongholds pulled down? Well, I believe first we must admit the stronghold. You know, sometimes it's hard for us just to admit that we have a stronghold. To say, God, I've got a stronghold. I don't think right about you, God. Lord, I don't think right about the spouse that you gave me. I don't think right about the children you gave me. I don't think right about my job. I don't think right about life. I don't think right about money. I think wrong. You have imaginations, and they need to be pulled down. We must admit them. But maybe you have a high thing today, something you turn to other than Jesus Christ to find fulfillment in life and to help you cope with the pain in your heart. Can I tell you, it's a high thing. It's a high thing. You know something? Let me say this to you. Not all television is bad. Not all movies are wrong. But if that's where you turn to cope with the issues in life, let me tell you something. It has become a high thing. It's high. It's exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And instead of seeking God, instead of going to Him, instead of looking to Him, I'll tell you, you look to other things. And Jesus, He says, I'm come to preach the gospel to the poor. You know something? When I was 17, listen, I grew up in a good home. My mom and dad took care of me. But I realized one day that I was lost in my sin. I could not save myself. I realized that I was depraved and I was on my way to a devil's hell. And I realized that Jesus was the only answer. That's what it means to be poor. It means I have nothing within me to save myself. I can do nothing to save myself. Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor. But He said this. Oh, I love this. He said, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Look here today. I don't know your past. I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know what you've dealt with. But you have a broken heart. Jesus wants to heal the broken heart. Jesus, if you'll come to Him, if you look to Him by faith, you say, I'm a Christian, wonderful, but Jesus still is your Savior, and He wants to heal that broken heart. Don't go to some high thing. Don't imagine that God will not help you. Don't imagine that God is too busy for you. Look to Him. He heals the brokenhearted. We must admit the stronghold, but secondly, we must arm ourselves against the stronghold. Can I tell you this? This is the only way really to pull down strongholds. This helps you to think right. This helps. And can I tell you this? You know what I find on every page? I find Jesus on every page. Can I tell you what I find in here? I find meaning and purpose in life. I find a God who loves and forgives and cleanses. I find a God of second and third and fourth and fifth and 100 chances. I find a God who cares for me. I find a God that I was created in His image. I'm not an accident. That God loves me and He has a purpose for my life. That's what I find. And folks, when we get into the Word of God, we begin to think right about God. We begin to think right about life and about eternity. Today, I wonder, have you been handing the devil bricks? Bitterness, fear, sin, coping mechanisms that you're going to. And you hand him bricks and he has built strongholds in your life. Today, there is a God in heaven who can pull down any stronghold in your life. Will you turn to Jesus Christ? Let's bow our heads in prayer.